Turn with me, please, to the 19th Psalm and the verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. I want to speak this morning on a very important subject, the secret of getting to really know your Bible. There was a time in the church when the church was a Bible church, and people studied and read and learned and repeated the Word of God. But today, we live in a day when there are many churches that have no study of the Word. And there are many Christians who don't even know how to go about a careful, planned study of God's precious revelation to us. Man was created to walk uprightly. It was evidently the plan of God that man should have his eyes heavenward. My text says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Man walks uprightly and was planned to see the beauties of the heavenlies first, and thus be prepared to study the second leaf of God's revelation, which was God's great book, the Bible. And then also, in looking down to study the final leaf of God's revelation, which was the seas. It is not the glory of creation we shall behold as we study the created heavens, but it's rather the glory of God in the Creator's own handiwork. What does the text say? The firmament showeth his handiwork. From the glory of what we behold in the book of creation, the Bible reveals the secret of the book of God's salvation. And then we are led to consider the secrets of the depths of the mighty oceans. These are all lessons we should be learning about day and night as we live here upon this earth. The three leaves of God's one book, the leaf of the wonder of the heavens declaring the glory of God. Then God's written revelation in the Word of God. And then at night time, God calls us to hear the songs in the night. Mr. Spurgeon, in one of his masterly exposition of the book of Psalms, says this: it should be our day's thoughts and night's thoughts to remember the flight of time. The changeful character of earthly things, the brevity of joy and sorrow, the preciousness of life and our utter powerlessness to recall the hours once flowing, and the irresistible approach of God's eternity. Day bids us work for God, and night invites us to rest in Him. Day bids us look for an endless day, and night warns us to escape from the everlasting night of a lost eternity. All who listen will hear the voices from the leaves of the book that God has written. And it is our duty not to shun the message, but rather bow in acknowledgement and be ready to obey fully what God reveals to our hearts. Sun, moon, and stars are God's traveling apostles and God's judges. They both teach us something about the journey of life, and judge us who worship the idols of men. They cannot be silenced. Hear this word of this 19th Psalm. There is no speech or language where the voice is not heard of the world book and the word book. Remember, God wrote them both. See that you heed him that speaketh to you therein. The best teacher of getting to know the Bible is the Bible itself. The Bible has certain key chapters and certain key passages of Holy Scripture which give us the keys to open the entire Scriptures. From Genesis to Malachi, from the Gospel of Matthew to the finishing word of the book of Revelation. Psalm 19 is one of these teaching passages which open the whole contents of the whole Bible to us in a few verses. There are six principles about the Holy Scriptures which are miraculously revealed in this 19th Psalm. This psalm starts in heaven. The heavens declare the glory of God. It comes down to earth. And then personally, the psalmist speaks of himself, David. I want first of all to look with you at the teaching of this psalm. In the middle of the psalm, verses 7 to 9, what does it say? It says, this book is the law of God. It is to the conversion of the soul. You'll never understand the Bible until you're converted to Jesus Christ. It's only the saved of God can ever really know the Holy Scriptures. So we start off with the immutability of the Bible. And what a great book it is. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Secondly, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. There we have the fidelity of the Bible. It's a book that can be tested, a book that can be trusted, and a book that never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but God's word will never pass away. God's word is as old as God. Just think about that. God's word is as old as God. It's the eternal book of fidelity. Thirdly, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. There you have the activity of the Bible. When the Bible works, it brings, what does it bring? Rejoicing of the heart. The activity of the Bible. Then we come to the commandment of the Lord. It's pure. It enlightens the eyes. There you have the purity of the Bible. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. That's the eternity of the Bible. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His word will never pass away. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. That's the infallibility of the Bible. What an opening of God's word is this. The heavens declare the glory of God. But having looked at God's message on earth, what about God's message in heaven? Before we pass to this, we remember what Pilate said of his written words. So God can say of all the words he has written, what I have written, I have written. There will be no change of them. They are eternal. The word of God will never be shaken, and its laws will remain unalterable and unaltered. Having examined the word of God on earth, in the scriptures I have just mentioned, you will find it's true of God's word in heaven. You'll find its immutability, its fidelity, its activity, its purity, its eternity, and its infallibility. When you lift your eyes heavenward, there is a great dome of creation. And when we look into the center of that dome of creation, we have the same testimony. Listen. The heavens declare the glory of God. There we have, again, the same emphasis as on the written book. The glory of God declares the immutability of God, the unchangeable God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. There is the fidelity of God. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There you have the activity of God. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. There you have the purity of God. Their line is gone through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world, And them hath he set a tabernacle for the Son, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. There is the eternity of God. And finally, we have again in the heavens what we read in God's written word, the infallibility of God. His going forth is from the end of heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. I suggest you turn your mind and heart and explain the difference between the end of heaven and his circuit unto the ends of heaven. There's a distinct business there. There's the end of heaven and the ends of heaven. These all sum up the infallibility of God. And then, we've looked at heaven, we've looked at God's book, we look around us, and what do we see? We hear the psalmist saying, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Here we have the word of God. And the word of God supplies the immutability of cleansing for our hearts. We can understand the errors of our hearts, but God can understand them. And God has made a study of them. And God in his study says, who can understand his errors? How will these secret faults be cleansed? God takes us to a cross, the immutable cross that can't change. And it's there at the cross, the faults and the secrecy of our own evil are all exposed and dealt with by the power of the Savior's precious, immutable blood. Keep back, it's this servant, from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Again, you have there the word of God in its fidelity. Let them not have dominion over me. There we have the activity of the Word of God. It breaks the power of evil. It takes away the dominion of sin. Then shall I be upright and innocent of the great transgression. There we have the purity of the Word of God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. There is the eternity of God. My strength and my Redeemer. And we're back to the infallibility of God. This psalm begins with the heavens. And it ends with the glorified one who made the heavens and is preparing to receive all the elect there in his own home, the Father's house of many mansions. Begin ye saints the happy song. Let love inspire the theme. 'Tis Jesus' grace that calls for praise. 'Twas Jesus alone did redeem. When justice fixed the sinner's fate, an endless woe to dwell. 'Twas Jesus that stood resisting to blood and ransomed we sinners from hell. Our only advocate and friend, the mighty work was wrought when bowing his head, 'tis finished, he said. O sinner, exult at the thought, a spotless victim to the cross. Himself he thus did reign, then entered the grave, the wretched to save, the poor, the halt, and the blind. Lo, now in bliss our cause he pleads, till we behold his face, unchangeable love, to us he will prove eternal in mercy and grace. Then lift up your loudest praise to Zion's holy King. He's worthy, we own, who sits on the throne. Hosanna to Jesus, we sing. Those words were written by a great preacher in the days of Wesley's revivals, Roland Hill. There's a tremendous truth in those words. The music of heaven is sung in heaven, but the Psalms of David, the sinner saved, are sung on earth. From the highest to the lowest, from the highest of musicians to the lowest of sinners, David. I was a sinner, condemned unclean. But God took me to that cross and showed me precious blood that was more powerful than any sin every man that lived on this earth has committed, and taught me to sing an everlasting song. It's no wonder you can't stop the gospel song. For when we're not singing on earth, they're singing it in heaven. And when millenniums and millenniums have rolled away into the ending of their rule, there still will be voices in heaven of the redeemed of God who shall sing forevermore the song of Moses and of the Lamb. It is heard in all ages. Its lines go out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world, both in actuality and in history. Nothing can escape the heat thereof. The non-stop race continues and will always continue. This book, the book of God, avails, and thank God, prevails. Nothing can be hid from it. It is the everlasting word of the everlasting God, the word that liveth and abideth forever. Eternal Spirit, 'twas thy breath, the oracles of truth inspired, the kings and holy seers of old, with strong prophetic impulse fired, filled with thy great almighty power, their lips with heavenly science flowed, their hand a thousand wonders wrought, which bore the signature of God. We're glad some hearts, they spread the news of pardon through the Savior's blood. And to a numerous seeking crowd, mark out the path to His abode. The powers of earth and hell in vain against the sacred word combine. Thy providence through every age securely guards the book divine. Thee, its great author, source of light, Thee, its preserver, we adore and humbly ask a ray from Thee, its hidden wonders to explore. O my brethren and sisters, let us bathe ourselves in the never-setting sunshine of the Son of Righteousness, who has arisen with abundant and everlasting healing in His wings. Let us bask in the everlasting sunshine of eternal truth. The emphasis of this great psalm, which shows us the Bible in miniature, is upon the works and the Word of God. Note it carefully. The heavens declare the glory of God, for He Himself is the judge. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, that is the Scriptures. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Romans chapter 1, 19 and 20. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Notice the origin of the firmament. It is first mentioned in Genesis chapter 1, 7 to 8. And its name is heaven. Mark Psalm 74 verse 16. The day is thine, the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. You will be discovering now what a marvelous commentary is the Psalms in the creation of the world around us. All references to creation should be examined as they are recorded in the whole of the book of Psalms. The Psalter is God's commentary of Genesis chapter 1. If the most unscientific man on earth would read what the Psalms say about creation, they would have the infinite wisdom of God in their heart and in their life. Notice some of these highlighted references which you will find in the Psalter. The first verse of this psalm emphasizes the declaration of the glory of God. The firmament leads on to a demonstration of God's handiwork. Lift up your eyes. Study the handiwork of God in the wonder of the firmament. Go out tonight when the day loses the glory of the sun and stare into the heavens. And God has so created your eye that the little small pupil of your eye can take a picture of millions and millions of stars, stars uncountable. And remember what God says, the heavens declare the glory of God. O God, steer our arcs into the parting of the waters, in the broad scope of the oceanic fullness of the tides of the firmament's waters below and above. Here is mystery indeed. Yes, even in the darkness, the night showeth knowledge. The voice of the Creator's creation is the commanding and ruling voice. It cannot be silenced. It prevails to the end of the world. It is there that the mighty ark of the sun has its tabernacle. The marriage bells are ringing, and the advent of the bridegroom's party takes its place in the voice of this rejoicing young man that is mentioned in the psalm. What a circuit lies before him. From the end of the heaven he runs, and his circuit reaches unto the ends of it, as I have already mentioned, and spreads the heat thereof. Thy way, O God, is in the sea. Thy paths I cannot trace, nor comprehend the mystery of thine unbounded grace. Hear the dark veils of flesh and sense my captive soul surround. Mysterious deeps of providence my wandering thoughts confound. When I behold thy awful hand, my earthly hopes destroy. In deep astonishment I stand and ask the reason why, as though a glass, I dimly see the wonders of thy love. How little do I know of thee, or all thy joys above. 'Tis but in part I know thy will. I bless thee for the sight. When will thy love the rest reveal in glory's clearer light? And someday we will shut our eyes to the darkness of death, and we'll open our eyes in the mansions of everlasting light. And the first face we'll see in the glory land will be the face that was wounded for me. Wounded for me. Wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions. And now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. The blood that came from those wounds one day opened our eyes, and we saw the light, and the burden of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. May God give us a love to really learn our Bible, and to know it as it should be known of those that are twice born and are in the family of God.